our shiur today is Eli Nishmas, Mr. Emmanuel Gruss, Emmanuel Ben Yehoshua. So the topic is Parshas Metzora. It's hard, you can almost guess that the topic could be about Lashon Hara, right? You know, that seems to be the obvious direction you go when you talk about Parshas Metzora. So I was thinking about it. It's a fascinating thing in the Chofetz Chaim. You start looking at the Chofetz Chaim, I'm not going to get involved in how many veiras and how many mitzvahs are involved, etc. But if you want to describe what exactly is the Isser of Lashon Hara, or the Surim of Lashon Hara, we see that there really are a few different areas which are touched upon. One is, it's clear from the Chofetz Chaim that there's an Isser saying negative. It'll cause the person no damage. He knows up front the Chofetz Chaim says that nobody's going to believe it. And he knows that the people, that they like him too much, it's not going to affect them at all. So the person will not be in any way damaged at all. But you should not be saying negative about somebody else. So that's the first issue. The issue is speaking negatively. The full other end of the spectrum, you can say something which is not negative at all. It's going to cause him damage. It's also called Lashon Hara. So even though it's only a grama, as it were, it's only causative, it's not direct. Chofetz Chaim Pasan that goes into this is a Lashon Hara. And he brings a Gemara to prove it. So in general, look, the concept of grama when it comes to nezikin, when it comes to damages, we're talking about physical damage. Grama is usher to do. It's not actionable in Bezdin. Bezdin can't force you to pay in a case where there'd be financial damage, but it's prohibited to do. Grama by nezikin is usher. So the same thing is over here. When the grama, it could even be emotional damage, etc., or any type of damage, even though what you're saying is not negative, and the person will admit that it's not negative. But if it's going to cause some way, it's going to cause damage to him, that also goes into this of Lashon Hara. There's a third Isser, which is... Thank you. The third Isser, which is to... cause damage to a relationship to somebody else. If Reuben and Shimon are getting along, let's say, and Reuben says something about Shimon, and if you tell Shimon about it, you've damaged the relationship. So that's the Isser of Rechilus. The Chofetz Chaim divides it. This is the Isser of Lashon Hara, which is saying negative about somebody. And here, there's nothing negative necessarily involved in it, but the fact that you damage the relationship is this of being a Rochel. The Chofetz Chaim points out that what you could say might be true, it might be something which is not negative at all. The person himself will admit to it if you'd ask him that he did it. But even so, if you're going to be the one who's going to cause any type of enmity or animosity between two individuals, that's the Isser of Rechilus.
Maybe how are you supposed to know? I mean, how do you know what the person's sensitivities are?
That's hard. Right? That's a hard question. That's a hard question. And he says, now, even if the two of them already have a relationship where there's some element of animosity, so you're just adding fuel to the fire, that's also usher. Then he takes it a step further and he says, not only that, even if you're not going to tell one of the individuals involved, you're going to tell a third party. But there's a chance that third party will eventually get it back to these individuals. Again, what you said wasn't negative, so there isn't a place of Lashon Hara. The only issue is it's going to cause a damage. Well, you're telling a third party there's no damage between the relationship. Well, it might get back eventually to the person who would be affected. Also usher. So this is again the idea of the grama element that is causing a grama. I'll tell you a fascinating me'iri. The beginning of the sixth parak in Baba Kama, the Gemara has about an omen and a half, talks about the isra of grama, the cases where a person was caused damage. Talking about financial damage. So the more it goes to a few cases, the more it says the law is that Pata B'Dediyot, Bezin down here, the court cannot action it. It's not actionable in court. But Chai B'Din Shemayim. Shemayim, they expect you to in some way address the grievance affected. Comes along the Me'iri, and the Me'iri says that if you don't pay, you have a status of a Ganav and you're possible for Edus. You're disqualified to be a witness because you haven't paid money that you owe. Well, it's not actionable in Bezin. But if the Mor is telling you that we're expecting, if heaven's expecting you to deal with it, it's not just a nice holy thing. it's what the Mora is saying. The Mira is saying that we're telling you the reality is that you cause a damage, and you have to correct, you have to address it or correct it. It's there's a concept that halacha that says that someone best will not address the issue. They don't feel that that's within their privilege to address it, but that doesn't mean that you're absolved the responsibility of addressing it. So that's a whole new ball game that this Meiri is opening up for us, that you're considered posulatus. Now it's not brought down on halacha. I can't tell you that it's a halacha lamaisa, but at least conceptually, the Meiri is introducing us into another world. So we have the iser of causing damage. We have the iser of damaging a relationship. We have the iser of saying negative, even though it's not going to be any damage at all, because you're speaking negatively. The Chabad Chaim takes it a step further. He says that there's an iser of hearing lashon hara. Now, iser hearing lashon hara, he sees it from two angles. One is by listening. You're obviously facilitating the person who's speaking. It's hard to talk to the wall. So you have a problem with the ever you're facilitating. It says besides that, you're not supposed to be hearing negative about other people. Then after you hear it, there's a prohibition of believing it. Well, that's one of the hardest ones, right? You know, it's very hard once you hear it not to believe it. Right? So the Chofetz Chaim gives an example where there's certain cases where the halacha allows you to hear it. There's going to be some potential benefit involved for somebody, so that the Torah does not prohibit hearing in that situation. You're allowed to hear it, or you believe that by possibly listening to what you're saying, you can hear the person out, and you'll calm him down, and he won't go spread it out all over the city. So that's and meanwhile, you know that you're not going to be affected by it. Let's say, for argument's sake, so by doing so, you prevent the spreading of lashon hara. That's permitted. There might be some potential damage to you or to somebody else, but you need to hear what it is. And so you're allowed to hear it because you can't believe it. Why do you have a right to believe this person? So somebody went to ask the Chofetz Chaim, so like, you know, it's very hard not to believe. So he gave an example, you know, from his, you know, from the experience, you know, living in Europe, right? A person walks over to you, and this is a person who dresses in non-Jewish clothes. He shaves with a razor. He eats non-kosher food. He tells you, you know, that guy over there, he's really a bad guy. You know, he did this and this and this. You know, he's like, you know, who are you to tell me what? Because he's a person who does averus. Why would you find that person to be reliable? He says, well, here's a person who's doing the prohibition of the term saying lashon hara. So why would you believe him? Yes. So hello. Thank you so much. So here we are. It's a fascinating point. Our problem is that we don't find that people view the issue of the prohibition of lashon hara, of speaking negatively, as the same thing as eating non-kosher food. It's like, it's, you know, yeah, non-kosher food, that's a real vera. It's not nice. This is a prohibition. So a person walks up to you and tells you, so I shouldn't believe him? No, you shouldn't believe him. If it's a person who's not careful with that. So the Chofetz Chaim says it's obviously difficult. Well, maybe he missed the point. Maybe he didn't understand. Maybe there's more to the story. Maybe etc. So there's ways if you are creative, you'd understand that it's very difficult to accept this as being just the reality. Then the Chofetz Chaim adds one more. And he says the fascinating thing. He says under the umbrella of this prohibition of lashon hara, there's an issur of revealing somebody's secrets. He says that's a very strong prohibition. He calls it a very strong prohibition. There's an issur of being megal asoy. Because the Torah refers to the lashon hara as halach rachel, a person who goes as a rachel, gives him the status title of a rachel, and the pasuk says in Proverbs, initially it says halach rachel megal asoid. So there's another layer of the problem. The problem is this is something which is private. Why are you revealing things which are private? So if it's true in a person's action, the person's done. So obviously it's true in any area where a person has the right to have privacy. We have to respect a person's privacy.
So is that only when a person specifies they want this private, or do you assume that?
I'm going to tell you a very cute story. So recently, somebody mentioned to my wife that he'd been in the hospital, etc., the whole thing, etc. A few weeks went by, and I didn't mention anything to the person because I didn't know he was in the hospital. So he made a comment to me earlier this week. You know, he was in the hospital. So I said, I didn't know. He says, I told your wife. I asked my wife. She says, he didn't tell me I was allowed to tell. So I didn't say. You know, because that's the halacha, that you're not allowed to assume the person wants you to repeat unless he tells you to repeat. and it was a private. Apparently, he wanted to keep it private, as far as she understood. He had met, of course, you know, but he hadn't specified. So my wife assumed.
The assumption is he's supposed to keep it private.
Yeah. So I told this person this story. So he told me that he had a story with Rabbi Einemar Zatzal, that his wife was expecting, and he mentions his that his wife was expecting, and about 2 months later, Rebbetzin Einemar, you know, asked, like, you know, you never mentioned that your wife was expecting. He says, well, I told Rabbi Einemar. So he went to Rabbi Einemar and says, you didn't tell me, I could tell, so I didn't say. You know, again, the person assumed, you tell Rabbi Einemar, he'll tell his wife. And Rabbi Einemar, you didn't tell me I'm allowed to repeat, so I didn't repeat. So that was the assumption, that if you weren't told you're allowed, so you shouldn't be repeating. Now that is, so the correct assumption is that you're not allowed to repeat. But the logic behind this is that we see the Lashon Hara is the element of respecting privacy. So I'll tell you a fascinating question one of my rebbeim one time asked. He says, we know there's a concept in halacha that we give weight to visualizing something greater than the weight to seeing something, to hearing something. In other words, the case of the question that Moore is dealing with is, Bezin is allowed to make a decision based on testimony of witnesses. So what about if the Bezin, instead of hearing testimony, actually witness it themselves? So Moore says it's logic. If they hear testimony, they're able to make a decision. If they actually witness it themselves, they saw it. If hearing is sufficient, so obviously seeing it is sufficient. So he said, if there's an issue of hearing Lashon Hara, is there an issue of seeing Lashon Hara? He says, what do I mean? Okay, so if you define this Lashon Hara is the idea of, I don't want to hear negative about somebody, so you shouldn't want to see negative about somebody either. So let's say for argument's sake, there's a rumor going around town that somebody's doing something very improper, right? Or you don't know who it is, you know, but there's somebody doing something, you know, going on, etc. You're up late one night and you hear like this, you know, sound outside, and you say, okay, am I allowed to go out, look out the window and see who it is? That was a question which my reasons, well, if you can't hear negative about somebody, you shouldn't be able to. Why are you allowed to go look and see negative about somebody? You're able to, you know, put two and two together. I can now catch the fellow and see who did it. See if there's some benefits. Obviously, that would be permitted. You know, you need to address the issue, etc. But if there's no benefit, just your curiosity, and now you can know who did it and feel good about, you know who did it. See, he said he would assume that. The idea, because the Torah respected the person's privacy. That's where it connects back to the idea of this issue of Sayyid Acher. It's his privacy. He's doing something improper. That's, you know, again, if you can address it in some way, either some benefits, you can protect somebody or you can address it so that you have a responsibility to do so. I'm not going to speak to him. I don't feel comfortable speaking to him. I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to change the matter. I'm not protecting anybody. There's no danger to anybody else. Just, I would like to know, you know, who's doing whatever, you know. So he would assume it's prohibited to stick your head out the window to see who it is. So the same way you have an issue of saying Lashon Hara, you have an issue of hearing Lashon Hara, you have an issue of damaging somebody's privacy in saying it, you have a prohibition of damaging somebody's privacy in getting the information. That was a fascinating question. So one last thought. This comes along, I found the source for this in the Shlah Kodesh. See, the Shlah, done with the Shlah before, right? The Shlah says, if you look at the language of the prohibition of the Torah of Lashon Hara, it's fascinating how the Torah says it. The Torah writes the Isser saying, how would we write the Isser? Don't say Lashon Hara. That's how we would write it. The Torah doesn't write it like that. The Torah says, Lo Selech Rochel Ba'amecha. Don't travel as a talebearer in your nation. So what does it mean, travel? What's the traveling part? So Rashi says, what was a Rochel? A Rochel was peddlers, and what they would do is they would go to house number one, they'd offer some wares and they'd buy some things. And they'd go to house number two and they'd take what they bought in house number one and sell it in house number two, and they'd buy something and they would constantly be buying and selling. So you have people who do that with Lashon Hara. They walk to house X and they say, well, while they're there, they notice this and they notice that. They get all of the gossip that they notice in house number one. And then they go in house number two and they peddle it. And they offer what they said in number two, and what they saw in number one, they tell number two, and then etc. Says the Torah is telling you the prohibition is not the saying. The prohibition starts as soon as you start walking. If your intent is to go to house A to see what's negative there, to allow you to eventually retell it somewhere else, the prohibition starts as soon as you look. So he said, I found this, your idea that the prohibition is not the telling, it's a lack of respecting the privacy of somebody by walking and trying to find what's going on by them. That itself already is a prohibition. So that the Torah respects the person's privacy. Why are you looking into somebody else's business? So I once heard from Ramathus Yo Solomon, the Mashgiach in Lakewood. He says, he's an English person, apparently a busybody in England, it's called a nosy Parker. says the prohibition of
a nosy parker.
That's the phrase, okay? So he says the prohibition of lashon hara is not to be a nosy parker. So that's the prohibition. You want to define the prohibition as don't. Why are you looking into somebody else's business? Again, if there's some benefit, you could help somebody. Obviously, we want to do that, but we're not for that. That's the prohibition. Okay, that's. Let's switch to maybe a thought on the parasha. Again, we're sort of geared towards the lashon hara angle, and that's because parasha Mitzaro. But I want to maybe try and connect it because it's almost Pesach. We're not having a share next week. So there's a fascinating Rashi in Parsha Shmos. Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was grappling with why were the Jews oppressed? Why did the Jews deserve to be in this situation other than any other nation? So Moshe Rabbeinu, the story was, he went out and saved somebody. Eventually it turned out that somebody witnessed that and told Paro that Moshe had killed an Egyptian, and Moshe Rabbeinu was taken captive to be punished. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, when he realized that somebody had told Paro, he says, "Okay, nedah hadavar, now I understand." So the translation of the simple translation is, what had happened is now known. Rashi says it's not referring to what had happened, it's referring to Rashi, why the Jews deserve to be in this situation. It says, because they say lashon hara. If the type of people would say lashon hara, I understand why they deserve to be in a state of oppression. So the morale comes along and says, I don't understand. And other nations don't speak negatively, they don't gossip, you know. Only Jews gossip, I mean, because Jews aren't very good at it, you know. But the other nations don't do it. He says, the strength of Klal Yisrael is the ability to have tznius. Tznius doesn't mean just how you dress. Tznius means you're a person who respects privacy. You understand that we contain a world of beauty and significance inside of ourselves. And within that world that we live in, with that beauty, why am I looking at somebody else's business? Why am I nosing into somebody else's business? Why, if I'm going to feel positive and accomplished and recognize that I have a strength inside of myself, which is that I have a power inside of myself, I've been empowered with a mission to accomplish in life, my life, and I'm focusing on that, I'm way beyond spending my time looking at other people in a negative sense and I'm interested in talking about it. It's like big people don't talk about little things. You know, they don't gossip because they have better things to do with their life. So the message over here was Klal Yisrael lost the vision of the fact that they're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they've been empowered with a mission in this world. They lost that, and they're busy. They got down to the level of gossip. If that's where you're at, it means you've lost your vision. I'm sorry. So then you're stuck with being. You need to be retrained. Which is the process of Klal Yisrael has to go through a Golus. Whereas other nations, not necessarily were ever given that mission, so you can't say that they're abusing their mission by doing so. So we're not downgrading them or degrading them by saying that. But Klal Yisrael, which was given a mission to be a light to the nations, and that's our job, and they're busy doing things which are quite not like that. The opposite of that. They're lowering themselves down to the level of gossip. Like, you've lost your vision of who you are. Then the Klal Yisrael is going to lose that vision. That's going to be a problem. One last thing I just want to share with you. It's a totally a Seder thought. I spoke two nights ago in the Young Israel Shomer Emunah. And one of the issues that people come to the Seder, like, you know, what do you do with the Seder? Like, what's the goal of the Seder? What, you know, you have the Haggadah and you have all these different ideas, etc. It says the goal of the Seder, if you want to, is Klal Yisrael has a purpose. Klal Yisrael has a message, and we're adults, and we understand. We have a maturity, of understanding of what's important, and what are the messages we like our children to know. That's the night of the Seder. You, as an important person, as a Jew, my child, I want you to know certain things. I want you to live with certain things. I have certain ideals, and I want you to live with. Here is your opportunity. The whole year, maybe you shy away from that. You don't have to say fancy verbs. You have to get across what are the messages. And then, you know, almost as it were, look in the Haggadah and say, well, if I'm right, it should be somewhere in the Haggadah, that message. And then find that in the Haggadah and give it over. So what I did was, I didn't have time to make more copies. I made a suggestive list of suggested life messages for the Seder night. And then I made a Excel spreadsheet, which gives you all of the parts of the Haggadah and all the topics and the check marks where you're going to find them.
If you send that to me, I can circulate.
Okay, so it's supposed to be up on the Yeshiva website. I sent it together with the actual shiur. I didn't check to see if it's up there yet. So the website is www.yeshiva.edu. And then if you go to...
Do you want me to make copies? Do you want me to make copies?
Could you make copies?
Well, sure. Paul, Pinchas can also just scan it. I can scan it and send it.
I don't have my flash drive on me. Here, you can do it from this. Which, okay. Somebody would like to go to anything. So there is the whole shiur, which I thought was an hour, 15-minute shiur. But, so I had a good time, like, you know, saying my little piece. But not such a little piece. But this idea was, and then and the last sentence is, okay, if that's really true, that we're talking about something which is it speaks to us personally, we probably had a personal story somewhere in our lives of where it happened. So besides talking about it in the context of the Haggadah and looking back to what happened then and how it was true then, if you personalize it by saying something which is true now, in my own personal life, you know, I grappled with this and I overcame this and I dealt with this. That's a very powerful message to your child. And that in many ways will go in a very, very strong way. So even though our children are more learned than us, our children know more shatim in the Haggadah than we do, and we feel very intimidated by that, we still have the responsibility and the maturity and the level of understanding which they don't have, and that's our goal for the night. Okay, let's stretch.
Let's go.